Welcome to Susitna Writer's Voice, area writers reading their work.
Greetings. Welcome to the first Stardate Susitna of 2017, the year of the USA solar eclipse. I'm Kathleen Fleming. I thought I'd take a look ahead to astronomical highlights anticipated during this year, as well as a more detailed examination of the events coming up this week. So, let's get started. My favorite information source for this program has been Guy Otwell's astronomical calendar, which I've been purchasing since before KTNA went live. I think 1992 was my first edition, and 2016 was Mr. Otwell's final publication. It had a section listing the best astro events of the coming year, and all the text and graphics and charts were so clear and easy to use, really enhanced my understanding of why the night sky appears the way it does. Without that publication, I'm a bit disoriented. My wall calendar includes some astro info. I've purchased the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada's Observer's Handbook for 2017. I get the monthly astronomy magazine. Regularly check the weekly Sky at a Glance page on the Sky and Telescope website, but none are as complete as Mr. Otwell's annual calendar, with its graphics that were more global in nature, so interpreting the information for Alaska was fairly easy. Even the RASC maps don't include northern Canada, let alone Alaska. And things are so different up here, you can't just assume that an event visible for the standard observer at 40 degrees north latitude in the eastern U.S. time zone can be seen in Alaska. All this to tell you that research for Stardate Susitna just got a wee bit trickier this year. That being said, some of the 2017 highlights I've picked up on include the fabulous evening views of Venus we have in January and February. We may get a glimpse of little Mercury in April and again in September. Mars is visible now above and left of Venus, but this is not an opposition year for Mars, so the red planet won't get as bright as it will next year. Jupiter, now visible in the morning sky, will be at opposition in April, which means it's closest, biggest, and brightest for the year. All the cool stuff in summer is lost on us here in the far north, so I won't include the opposition of Saturn, etc. Meteor showers that peak when the moon is not a major dampening factor this year are the Lyrids in April, the Orionids in October, the Leonids in November, and the Geminids in December, with most occurring in a dark sky at or near new moon. Yay! There are, as in most years, two lunar eclipses and two solar eclipses. Neither lunar is total. The penumbral eclipse in February will hardly be noticeable, and the partial in August won't be visible from Alaska. The first of the solar eclipses is an annular eclipse, Ring of Fire, that starts in the far South Pacific, crosses southern South America, heads northeast across the Atlantic, and onto southern Africa. The second solar eclipse I've already been telling you about in pretty much every episode of Stardate Susitna so far this year. It's the USA eclipse that starts in the Pacific, begins its trek across the U.S. mainland in Oregon, and heads off from South Carolina into the Atlantic. That's on August 21st, and you should be making your plans now if you haven't already. As far as planet-planet conjunctions, planet-star conjunctions, and lunar occultations, later this month, Venus and Mars will be a bit closer than they are right now, and then they'll be super-duper close in October. And Venus will pass less than a moon width north of Jupiter in November. It's quite a treat to watch the moon pass right in front of a bright object. Without Mr. Otwell's easy-to-read occultations map, it's more difficult for me to give a list of occultations visible from Alaska. Looks like La Luna will move through the Hyades star cluster of Taurus several times this year, with occultations of modestly bright stars visible from Alaska tonight, Sunday night, also in March, September, and October, and then an occultation of Aldebaran, which appears near but is not actually part of the Hyades cluster, in December. No planets are occulted this year, as seen from the KTNA broadcast area. And that pretty much covers the astro highlights of the coming year. Now, let's get specific about the coming week. If you're listening on Sunday, lucky you. At least one occultation is ahead for tonight. At 10:54 p.m., the dark leading edge of the moon will consume Gamma Tauri. You'll need binoculars or stronger to see this event. Gamma Tauri is the star at the point of the sideways V, where the two lines come together on the right side. That is the Hyades star cluster in Taurus. Through the evening tonight, glance at the moon and Gamma Tauri. Notice the shrinking distance between them. At about 10:50, they will be so close. Keep watching. And at the moment the star disappears, hopefully you will not have blinked. In addition, or instead of, if you're a morning person, if you have a clear view to the north-northwest, and if you are willing to set your alarm for 6 a.m., see how close the waxing gibbous moon is to Aldebaran, the brightest star in Taurus. According to the International Occultation Timing Association, Alaskans will see La Luna get close to, but not cover, the star. I'm not so sure. Will the moon cover the star, or will it scoot below Aldebaran? Check it out Monday morning around 6 a.m. and let me know what you saw by email, info@ktna.org. Anyway, the 10:54 Sunday night occultation of modest Gamma Tauri is definitely expected. The full moon of January, called the Wolf Moon or Moon After Yule, Old Moon or Snow Moon, will light up the sky and the snowy landscape Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Full moon happens 2 days after perigee, so this will again be a larger than the average moon. And since we're still not that far from the winter solstice, this full moon will be in the sky much longer than average. Remember, full moons are opposite the sun, rising at sunset and setting at sunrise. So while the days are short, the full moon trajectory is long. Bright moonlight obscures the fainter stars but leaves most of the constellation stars visible, making it a bit easier for beginners to pick out the patterns. I say, take advantage of the opportunity. Expand your familiarity with the glorious winter night sky while we don't have to be up too late to enjoy it. Venus, that amazingly bright object in the southwest after sunset, is at greatest elongation east on Thursday the 12th. As an inner planet, Venus is only seen to the east or west of the sun, as the evening star or the morning star. This week, Thursday, Venus is as far to the east as it gets during this go-around, 47 degrees east of the sun, therefore following the sun into the western horizon, and therefore Venus is currently the evening star. After this, the sun begins to catch up with Venus, and we will fairly quickly lose our lovely evening goddess of love. Notice where she is relative to Mars, the god of war, is to the upper left and embarrassingly dim relative to the goddess, as it should be, I might add. And then, Happy New Year again! Saturday the 14th in our current Gregorian calendar is January 1st in the Julian calendar. If you wanted to party this Friday and Saturday but didn't have a reason, now you do. I think that's about it for astro events this week. Let's turn now to the total solar eclipse. On August 21st of this year, the new moon will be perfectly aligned with the sun so as to completely cover El Sol for about 2.5 minutes. For the lucky many who will be on the center line of the path of totality, somewhere along the route through Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and South Carolina, with visits to corners of additional states. A partial eclipse, thrilling but not profound, will be visible that day throughout North America and much of South America, including Alaska. This is the first total solar eclipse to favor the contiguous U.S. in nearly 40 years. The last one was in February 1979. Prior to that, during the solar eclipse of July 1963, Talkeetna was smack dab on the center line. The path of totality started in the North Pacific, curved up through Alaska, into Canada, arching downward across Maine, and off into the Atlantic. I researched that eclipse a couple decades ago. Somewhere I have an envelope of copies of Anchorage newspaper articles that I found on microfiche at the Lusac Library way back when. Long-timers may recall that the Langhams wrote a play or skit for visitors that centered on that eclipse. Totality lasted about a minute and a half in Talkeetna. It was only partial in Willow and South, so gobs of scientists and curious observers arrived by train, since the park's highway wouldn't be extended beyond Willow until the following year. I found a mention in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner online, quote, "The Alaska Railroad will begin sale this week of tickets for a special train to Talkeetna to observe the solar eclipse July 20th. The eclipse is scheduled over Alaska at 10:02 a.m. on that day. The round-trip train service will depart Anchorage at 5:45 a.m. with 800 tickets scheduled to be sold at $6.75. Well, if this was to occur these days of easy travel, well, I don't even want to think of the crowds. When I started getting into astronomy and eclipses, the books I read used beautiful images of the eclipsed sun from Hawaii in 1991. I believe that was the most recent totality to cross a U.S. state. Each eclipse is different in its path and duration and the shape of the sun's ethereal atmosphere. Sometimes there are rays stretching out on opposite sides. Sometimes it's fairly uniform. The Hawaii eclipse had fantastic structure. I'll post a photo taken by Mr. Eclipse, Fred Espinac, who observed the 91 event from the southern tip of Baja California. You can see it on the KTNA website when this program gets posted. And now it's become much longer than I'd intended. It's difficult for me to get up the momentum to get started writing Stardate Susitna, but once I get going, my research is just so interesting and fun. I hope you benefited from the show and continue to do so through 2017, during the months with darkness at least. Here in the second week of 2017, the Upper Susitna Valley has 40 more minutes of direct sunlight than we did on the winter solstice. And Barrow, or Utqiagvik, has 12 more days left in their 65 days long night. Well, we can watch that glorious moon move through Taurus, Gemini, and Cancer this week, finally snuggling up to Leo's brightest star, Regulus, on Saturday. Note the relative positions of Venus and Mars in the early evenings, and Jupiter above bright star Spica in the AM sky. Lovely gems. Have a great week, and keep looking up.
You've been listening to Susitna Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can hear these recordings anytime at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome. You may call the station at 733-1700 for more information.